This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Well, good morning. Like Ashley said, thank you guys so much for coming out today. And it's these weekends where, like, we don't know who can get out of their driveways and down the roads and wherever. And so thank you guys so much. It's going to be an amazing day. Just want to say hello. And there's another group of us meeting somewhere else, which is great. There's three services at the Fields today, one in Charleston, two here. And we may be in different rooms, but we are one church with different locations, but one real message of helping everyone know God. And so if you think about it, around 10 a.m., that's when they're starting over there, and we can just, it's exciting that that's their first time, and man, we are excited. I want to start today, not just diving into teaching, but something you just heard on the video announcements. I want to share how important this is we're setting some time aside next Monday night, so a week from tomorrow night, for about an hour, January 21st, a night of prayer and worship. We've been talking about making God first. I think it's really important for us to set aside some time and say, if God's first, would we set aside an hour one evening to come? And we're going to all gather, all locations gather in this room, and take some time praying and worshiping and really having just a night dedicated to that. Now, I know some of you may be feeling, I don't know if I can pray for an hour. I will be leading us through that, and then the band will be leading us. And so it will go by so quickly that I know an hour might seem intimidating to some of us, but it will be you'll be amazed. And hopefully you walk out the doors going, we need to do this a little bit longer next time, because you'll be surprised when we all gather and we all pray and we're all in one accord and I lead us through that. It's going to be a great night. I can't wait for us to just dedicate that time. So if you could just maybe save that day and set aside that time and say January 21st, next Monday night from 6:30 to 7:30, I want to come and be a part of worship and prayer. So that will be important. Let's jump back into the series. So we are in the middle of First, the Order is Important, in figuring this out. How important is making God in our life? This is a series about practical spiritual priorities. This is helping us understand what we do first matters. What we do first in our day matters. In other words, like when you have a healthy breakfast in the morning, it actually helps you all day long. When you spend time in prayer in the morning, it helps you all day long that you've met with God before you get into the chaos of the day. Or making big decisions during the day, meet with God first. It's when you go to build a building, you want to first lay the foundation. You want to make sure that the foundation is strong and reliable before you build on top of that. And so the things that we do first really do matter. And what you do first actually impacts the rest. And I want us to understand that. Last week, we talked all about making God first. And this week, I want us to talk about, I want to expand on God first and expand to godly thoughts first, on how you and I need to expand that. So if you want to get out your phones, you can go to thefields.guide. You're going to follow, the scriptures are there, the notes are there, but the greatest part about that is you really can take some notes, and what God speaks to you during messages from here on out in the future, you can email those to yourself. Like, God speaks to us all the time. Let's capture that. Let's remember that. And so you can go to thefields.guide every single week. It's a tool that we wanted to make for you. So one, you can remember the notes, and you can look at those verses while I'm reading them, but also you can email yourself those things as well. I believe that we need to begin every single encounter, every single situation, every single day with godly thoughts. Like, we want to begin with a godly expectation of our day instead of a negative expectation. Think about having good, godly perspective on life instead of a negative perspective on life. That's waking up every morning and saying, my glass is overflowing, not just half full, But a lot of us struggle and we wake up and, oh, Debbie Downer, oh, it's half empty, not half full. I want us to wake up having godly thoughts that God is with me and having a God perspective, not a negative perspective. Imagine if we would begin with a hopeful mindset instead of a doubtful mindset. See, when you and I, we walk with God, and God's got the potential to change anything and breathe life into anything and do a 180 in our lives, then we walk through life knowing that there is so much potential and we can have this hopeful mindset. We're going to be looking a little bit through Romans. So Paul wrote a letter to this church in Rome. And so we're going to take little nuggets out of that letter. It's like, oh, that's so good for us, thinking about what we're talking about today, making God first and having godly thoughts. And just to start with, this is such a powerful verse I want us to see. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think." Let's not do what everybody else is doing. Let's not get stuck in the pattern of everyone else's thinking, but let's God change, transform us by how? By changing the way we think, by changing our mind, renewing our mind, helping us process life through His lenses, not through ours, processing life through the potential of God, and not what a lot of people just assume just because they've lived a lot of years on this earth. It's really taking the guidance and the counsel from God and the Holy Spirit who speaks into us instead of just relying on maybe what we hear around the water cooler of those opinions. We'll talk more about that next week. I want us to be looking here at Paul because Paul's got a lot of insight in this and how we think. And I think it's fair for us to say that God is more concerned in changing your mind more than just changing your circumstances. Like, He wants you to change the way you process through life. So many times we just want the things around us to change. And a lot of times I think God's trying to get our attention so we will change. We will see things differently. We will live life more according to Him than just snapping our fingers or moving the old magical wand, hoping God would just fix the situation. I think sometimes God wants us to fix our mind and to think things differently, that no change really can even take place unless you change your thoughts. We have to change the way we think, the way we process things. Now, I'll be really honest. Like, I struggle in the area of having godly thoughts sometimes in some situations. Now, last week, let me be really transparent here. Last week, I was really arrogant for my Chicago Bears. And I thought these guys were Super Bowl champions, and I bought Super Bowl tickets before I should have. No, I didn't. But I was heading that direction. And I was pretty arrogant, and that arrogance bled through into Facebook and social media and how these guys are awesome and your team stinks and all this. And I was really out there on that. And then at 3:40 p.m. last week at kickoff, like, it just went downhill, and the offense wasn't there and the defense wasn't there. And then at the end of the last, I don't know if you guys are football fans or not, but just bear with me here for a moment. The last play of the game, the Bears could have won and went into the playoffs, deeper into the playoffs. And our kicker kicked it, and he double doinked it off this post onto the middle post, and then it was a bad kick, and he'd done that like 5 times this year. And the announcer's like, "Oh, losing a game by a double doink," or whatever, you know. And I was mad, and I literally took off my bear shirt and I threw it down, and I was like, and then I immediately went to like my phone because all my friends were watching and we were chatting. And the next thing I know, I'm on Facebook and I'm watching what everybody's doing, and they're ripping this guy to shreds, and I jumped right on the bandwagon. Right, this guy needs fired. He's horrible. This guy's, get rid of him. Blah blah blah. And that went on for a while, 3 to 5 minutes of just like this ranting against this person. And then Joy, my lovely wife Joy, because I'm sure he's got like parents who were sitting there watching him, and when that happened, they were just heartsick. And then he's like, and then she goes, and if he has kids, could you imagine his kids right now who are hoping, look at dad out there, and then that happens. And then and joy made this guy a human being. And so I had to gulp a little bit, and I asked God to call off the million frogs and flies that were plaguing his house. I'm like, send them all, man. I know his address. Send them all there. And so I had to change the way I handle the situation. I had to change my mind. You know, I had to change the way I think, because I allowed myself to probably just go right in the pattern of the world. But, you know, when my wife Joy says he is a human being and all, I have to change the way I think. And so I did. I tried to handle it differently. I thought, it's just a game. He just missed a kick. Packers weren't in the playoffs anyway, so it didn't really matter. So I, you know, threw a little Packers joke in there. Made me feel better. But seriously, I had to take control. And I think there's situations, like, you may not be a sports fan at all, and this may not, like, ring your bell at all to understand this, but there's situations in your life that if you don't take control, then we just go down the pattern of the world. And so we have to have a little bit of a wake up and say, I need to control my thoughts. I need to have godly thoughts first. I need to process that situation through godly thoughts before I process it through what everybody else is thinking and saying. And so for you, it may not be sports, but it might be, you know, it might be greed for you. And maybe you lean toward having greedy thoughts first, and selfishly, like, accumulation thoughts first before inviting God in and asking him about your resources and things. Maybe you lean toward having, and this would be very private, but maybe you lean toward having lustful thoughts first, which then end in regret. You might even have like dishonest thoughts first, and you're trying to find a way to cut corners or cheat a little bit, which then it just leads to some conviction that I made a decision, I made a choice that doesn't align with the way God would want me to. But you lean toward trying to always maybe cut the corners in a little bit of dishonesty. You see, it's in all of us that we struggle with making sure we have godly thoughts first. Maybe it's our language, maybe it's what comes out of our mouth, it's the way we think, and what's in us first will come out. And so we want to make sure that we're having godly thoughts first. And I want to encourage us today that I feel like that I can help us understand that we can manage our mind. We can manage it. And so here's some ways we can do it. Why must I manage my mind? Is number one is because my thoughts control my life. This is why I have to manage what's going on up here, is because anything that's going up on here really sets the course for where I'm going in life and how I treat people and how I respond to situations and what comes out my mouth and what drives the passion behind what I do and how I live. Is it all starts in the brain. It all starts in my mind. It all starts in my thought life. So I must manage my mind because my thoughts control my life. And the writer of Proverbs, who is Solomon, just, you know, brilliant and is full of wisdom, asked God for wisdom. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 23. He says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So we have to be very careful about how we process things. We have to be very careful how we think. Are we thinking God first, godly thoughts first, or the pattern of the world first? Because your thoughts are kind of the green light into action. Whatever we're thinking, eventually, it's like we're revving up, and then we go and we do it. Imagine yourself, you know, sitting at a stoplight, and you're in a hurry, and you want to go, and you're sitting and you're staring at that light, and it's red, and it's red, and it's red, and eventually it's green, and you're just like, I'm going. Because in your mind, it was as soon as this thing turns green, like, I got to get there. And our thought life prepares us mentally to get somewhere, and it's the green light that means go. And if you have thoughts going on in your mind, then your thoughts send this message to the rest of your life to proceed forward. And so we have to manage those thoughts. We have to be careful, because it will change the direction of our life, and it can hurt the outcome of our life, and it can really hurt a lot of other people if we don't manage our mind. The second thing that's so important is why we need to manage our mind is because it becomes a battleground for sin. It's like the devil's playground. He loves to get in your head and create all kinds of ideas that are false and lots of temptation and a lot of what ifs and a lot of like, you know, this is something you should pursue and it'll feel good or all of this stuff. And we have to understand that there's this battleground and this temptation. The temptation to do something that God doesn't want you to do, it begins in the mind. It doesn't begin in your eyes of what you see. It doesn't begin in the lack of money in your wallet and so you're going to cheat a little bit. No, it all begins in the mind, and the devil gets in there and he's playing and he's trying to deceive you, and it's this battleground. There's this war at place. In fact, going back to Paul when he was writing this letter to the church in Rome, he speaks to this and he says this in Romans chapter 7, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me. I love what God says to me, and I love it. We're going to talk about God's word next week and how important it is to get God's law into our heart. But there's this other power, and it's within me, and it's at war. Everybody say war. War. There's this war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. He's saying there's just this tension and there's this tug of war and there's this war in my mind to do what's right and to do what's wrong. And Satan comes in and tries to flood our thoughts with things that are acceptable or something that are a bit temptatious, something that we would want to go after. And it's this war that's going inside of us. And we have to be careful that we understand that the battleground is up in our thoughts. And so I want to make decisions to have godly thoughts first. And if you allow your thoughts to be ungodly, then your actions will be ungodly. And so that's where the battle begins. What happens in our mind eventually gets played out. And so that's why Satan would love to get to the mind and get to our thoughts and have us to have ungodly thoughts, because he wants those ungodly thoughts played out. And so that's why Paul's like telling this early church, like, guys, this is important. This is a big deal that we control our thought life, because whatever happens in the brain happens in life. It's kind of like another sports story. Like, you know, I coach some football, and there's always a couple of those kids that show up and they don't want to practice. Like, they're late and they don't have their pads on, and you tell them it's time to take a lap and run, and they walk, and it's time to do calisthenics, and they do it halfway instead of 100%, and then it's time to practice, and they aren't paying attention, and they're in the back talking when we're trying to teach, and then you tell them it's a big hitting drill, and they're just like walking through the drills, and they don't care, and you get to the end of the practice, and they won't run any sprint. They're just that kid. You're just like, what am I supposed to do with this kid? Their parents just dropped them off, and they want to play football, and then so they just don't care. Like, the practice field is not sacred to them at all. There's nothing about the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice that was important to them. But then come Saturday, in our league, it's a Saturday game. Come Saturday at the game time, they're right by your side as a coach going, hey, put me in, coach. Hey, why don't I get a play, coach? I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. And because the rules make us have to play these kids so many plays, we're like, all right, we have to play. So we put them in, and it's a complete train wreck. They don't know what they're doing, and they could get hurt, and they don't, because this is what happens. And this is across all, like, sports, is the way you practice is the way you're going to play. And you show me effort on the practice field, that's going to build you up to show the effort on the game field and the game day. And it's the same thing with us. The whatever we have going on in our minds, that's the way it's going to live out. And so if we have ungodly thoughts in our minds, it's going to lead to an ungodly life throughout the week. And so we really have to manage this and understand there's this war and there's this tension and there's this tug of war going on inside. And that if it really is a battleground for sin, then we need to take care of it and we need to win that battle, because we don't want those things showing up in our lives. Another reason that we need to manage our mind is is because it's the key to peace and happiness. See, there is, if we really can manage and control our thoughts, there's happiness and peace that falls in line with this. There's a solution, there's an end goal here, there's an outcome that actually is in happiness and peace. Think of it this way, that an unmanaged mind leads to pressure, but a managed mind can lead to peace. If you manage your mind, it'll lead you to peace. If you just let it go and you don't, control any of your thoughts, there's going to be so much pressure in life. Unmanaged mind leads to stress, where a managed mind can lead to strength and security and having things in order. But we don't do this on our own. Let me get really deep in the weeds spiritually here. This isn't like a self-help talk. Going back again to Paul talking to the church in Rome, he says you don't have to do this on your own, this war that's going on. He says it this way in chapter 8. He says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, if you're struggling with ungodly thoughts first, he says there is death, but if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. What is this? This is a surrender to God. When I say the Holy Spirit controls your mind, you're allowing God, the Spirit of God, to come in and control the way you process life. I want us to get really spiritual here. The Spirit of God wants access to how you think and shape and have perspective on every single area of your life. Not just Sunday church stuff, Monday business stuff, weekend entertainment stuff, end of the month paying the bills stuff. And there's always going to be this sinful nature trying to lead us away. And so if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, then it leads to this life and this peace. It's kind of like a GPS system. If you have software on your phone or you have a GPS device where you're trying to go, you're still in control. Your hands are on the steering wheel. If you want to turn left, you can go left. If you want to turn right, you can turn right. But you're giving, the one that we use a lot of times is called Waze. And with Waze, it'll actually redirect your path in case there's really bad traffic. Maybe there's a bad accident. Maybe something happened along your journey that we don't know about, but they do, because there's other users signifying, hey, there's a really bad wreck up here, and you need to reroute this person. And so when you use software like that, when you use GPS software like that, you're still in control of the steering wheel, but you're giving the authority and you're giving you're surrendering to the advice and the counsel and the authority of a GPS, saying, you probably know how to get from A to B better than I do, but I'm still in control. I'm not a robot. And it's the same thing with God here, is I'm in control of my thoughts and I'm in control of anything that I want to do. But at the end of the day, I'm giving God authority to direct my future, to direct my path, to help me understand how to get from point A to point B the best way possible. And the only way we do that is we give the Spirit of God control of our mind. We say, you know what, I'm going to let you program in how I need to get there, instead of me thinking I know better. Have you ever fought with your GPS? You're like, okay, I maybe should have listened to that. And I do that sometimes just because I don't like the voice and I just don't want that person telling me that you know where to go. And so I'm like, forget it, I'm doing it myself. And then I always regret that. But we got to realize, with God, we give him authority and permission to help us set the course from getting from point A to point B, by allowing the Holy Spirit to control our mind, and it'll lead to a life of peace. You're not a robot, but you do have to yield and surrender to God. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the church in Rome. So how can I make God first in my thoughts? Okay, so it leads to peace, it leads to a good life. I get it, I need to not have ungodly thoughts. I didn't need to have impurity in my life and all this stuff and deception. So how? So let's answer the question of how. How can I make God first in my life? Number three daily choices that I think we can make. So let's just make it really practical. There's three things I think we can do every single day, every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, snow day, every day, okay? Every day. Number one is I have to wake up and say, I must feed my mind with truth. I feed it with truth. If I'm going to have godly thoughts first, not ungodly, not natural, not what the water cooler is saying. If I'm going to have godly thoughts first, then I need to feed my mind with truth. We're going to talk a lot about that next week. But I want us to understand that we need to live on this. Jesus actually says this. He says this in Matthew chapter 4. He says, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. Devil's trying to tempt Jesus to do things that he's not supposed to do. And he's like, listen, we need to feed on every word of God. We need to feed on God's word. We'll get a little more practical on that next week. But like, so when do we feed on God's word? I believe you need to feed on it all the time, throughout the day. I've done a lot of health education the last year and a half, and you know, you could almost talk to any dietitian anywhere, it's gonna tell you, if you eat throughout the day, smaller increments throughout the day, it's just healthier for you. So I follow a plan that has me eating 6 times a day because you get nutrients all throughout the day. And imagine if we would just put God's word into our life all throughout the day. Now, I'm not saying all throughout the day, you just have to read your Bible. But if you read your Bible in the morning and then you go back to those verses and you underlined a couple of them and you go back to what you under, maybe you try to memorize them. And so over your lunch hour, you're trying to bring that back. And over your lunch hour, you're going like, I read that verse today. That was so powerful. I'm going to reread it to myself at lunch and think about it. And when you go to bed at night, you're pondering, how did that affect me today? And you're just feeding on God's word throughout the day, because it's very healthy to lean in on God throughout the day, not lean in on other advice and other opinions. Come back next week. We'll talk really in depth on that one. The second thing I think we need to do every day, 3 daily choices every single day, is I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. So we feed our mind with God's word, but now we have to free our mind from destructive thoughts. We got to get these things out of our thoughts. We have to find freedom from our past. We have to be able to let go of some of the ways that we used to think about things. A lot of us get stuck. We need to let the negative, destructive thoughts go. I think that maybe we should lean in on the prophetess, what was her name? Elsa, that showed up in the last 2 days. Just let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to sing that one for you because I can't sing that, but I could have did the dance. But anyway, we got to let it go. You're like, whatever you're dealing with from your past, you got to let it go. Because you need to be free from those destructive thoughts. It might be guilt. You might be holding on to something that you've done or that you were a part of, and you can't let it go. I want to tell you, if you've asked forgiveness, God has forgiven you of that. You just need to forgive yourself. And once you forgive yourself, then you need to let it go. We gotta be freed from our past. If you're struggling with guilt, maybe you have immoral desires on a regular basis. We need freed from these negative thoughts. We need to get that out of our system. We need to get that out of our thought life. We cannot ponder and think and dwell on those thoughts. We need to be freed from those thoughts. Maybe it's the problem is you just keep replaying something in your head over and over and over, and you need to take that tape. Remember the old days when you a voicemail and a phone was actually recorded on a tape? You know, you actually had this little box next to your phone, and you'd hit the, hi, this is Travis, leave a message, you know, so that was the recording, and then the phone would, I'm just curious, like, who still got one of those, and who still uses it? Yeah, I mean, I figured, no, I'm just kidding, and so there's the tape. So here's the cool thing about that, though, and I've heard this, you know these stories. Sometimes there's those messages that it's from a loved one and you just want to play it over again. How many times have you not deleted a voicemail because you want to keep that voice and hear that message and you just want to say, you know what, I want to hear that again. You know, God forbid something would happen. I want to hear that. I want to keep that. The problem with that's great, but what we also do is we keep the messages that Satan is always saying to us that you're not good enough, or you really screwed up, or you blew this, or whatever you did back then is still going to direct who you are in the future. And we keep that message, we keep that tape, we keep that recording, and we play it in our head every day. And we need to be freed from that thought. We have to let that go. This is what Paul says about this in Rome, to the church in Rome. He says, those who are dominated by their sinful nature, they think about these things. They think about their sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. We need to ask God, God, take that. I give you authority. Let me be released of these thoughts, and I give you control of what I think about. I'm not going to think about my past. I'm not gonna be in control of that anymore. I'm gonna let that go and let the Holy Spirit control that. So we need to feed on God's word, and we need to free ourselves from these negative, destructive thoughts. And the third thing that we do every single day, I mean, this is daily. This isn't, oh, that was really good, Travis. I'll think about that. This is every day we feed on God's word. Every day we free ourselves from those thoughts. And every day we must focus our minds on what's on the right things. We have to focus on what's good. We have to focus on what's right. We have to focus on this. The writer of Hebrews says it so plainly, and he makes sense to us. He says this: let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let's live this life that God has in front of us. How are we going to do it? How are we going to run this race? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We do this by focusing on Jesus. He's the champion. He's the one that's going to get you across the finish line. He's the one that's going to help you in life. How do we run the race that God has given us? By focusing, by keeping our eyes on him. Remember, like if you've ever seen a horse race and those horses got those blinders, you know why they do that? So they're not distracted by the other horses left and right. They want them to see what's right in front of them. And it's the same way in life. Every day we wake up, we make a daily choice. Today I'm going to put on my blinders and I'm going to focus on what matters. I'm going to focus on Jesus because I'm running this race. And he wants you and me to run the rest of our life as strong as we can. He wants us to finish well. Like no one wants to drop out of a race. And so he wants us to run the race the way he's designed us to run it. By how? By keeping our eyes on him. And if we do those three things every day, we feed ourselves with God's word, we free ourselves from destructive thoughts, we focus on him instead of the distractions of the world, you will see the fruit of that, and it will happen in your thought life. All of a sudden, you're going to have godly thoughts when in the past you would have had ungodly thoughts. Something would have happened and ticked you off at work, and next thing you know, you process it a little different, a little more godly, because you're feeding God's word in your life every day. You're freeing yourself from the past and ungodly thoughts, and you're focusing on him every day, every day. We have a choice to make. Every one of us in the room, we have a choice to make, and it's this: will I begin every situation in life with godly thoughts? Every encounter that I have, godly thoughts. Every tension at work, godly thoughts. Anytime I think I'm right and they're wrong, godly thoughts. Will you begin every situation with godly thoughts? Godly thoughts first. Some of us today, what we really need to do first is go back to what Hebrews said, is just focus our eyes on Jesus, which means we need to surrender to him. There might be some of us in the room today that you've not invited Jesus into your life, and so you want to live a great life, but you've not made the decision to focus on him. I'm going to encourage you, you can invite Jesus into your life and let him be the director of your path. Surrender to him. He'll direct your path. I want to encourage you, if you're going to have a life of godly thoughts, you have to have God in your life first. You can't have godly thoughts without God in your life. So I want to encourage you to, right now where you're at, you can just invite God into your life. It's as simple as, Jesus, I've messed up. I've tried living this life or this last season of my life without you, and I want to invite you and I want to surrender. I'm going to surrender and give you permission to come in and lead. I give you authority to lead my life and to lead my thoughts. I give you permission and authority to control my mind and help me to think things through in a godly way. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, will you come in? And I'm going to make room for you. If that's where you're at right now, would you just say that to God? Jesus, you can just come on in. I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to put you first in my life. First in my life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask you, God, to do a great work. Jesus, that you would we just pray for you to change some addictive thought processes that we've had. And we're ready to give you control. And we pray, God, that you would help us to work through this. Help us to call on you every single day, every moment. And for those in the room that have invited you into their life for the very first time, Lord, begin to lead them and guide them and show them how you want to lead them to the best life possible. Thanks, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. Will you stand with me? Let's focus on God these last few minutes and just give God our best. And if you've struggled in ungodly thoughts, and you've not had godly thoughts first, just even as we wrap up and sing this song, would you make a personal commitment to God of what you need to take care of and how you need to give God authority and control of your life?